Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 8:02. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Thursday night, filling in for Keith. Got you for the next 4 hours as we take your calls at 888-808-1019. We'll talk to Kevin Kiernan and talk a little Mets and Yankees at 9 o'clock. And we'll get into some football. I just saw the replay of Anthony Richardson. Yeah, his pinky is in the wrong direction. Now, look, fingers get dislocated. That might not be as devastating an injury. He throws the football, so it'll be a while. But, I mean, it just... And watching the play too, he's got to recognize that he's got a free man off the edge. I mean, that's it's on him. It's on him. By watching it, he's an unblocked player off the edge. He's got to be able to recognize that and get rid of the ball, or like he's completely blindsided by it. That is a pre-snap read that a quarterback has to recognize. He can't just look the other way. I mean, that's part of the Anthony Richardson story too. You know, not a lot of football. He has not played, started a lot of games in his NFL, in his college career, or obviously in his NFL career because of injury. Daniel Jones is going to be the starter of the Colts. So we'll see how that goes for him. I wish him well, but I'm glad he's not the Giants quarterback anymore. Because I was tired of that debate. Is it him? Is it the line? Is it the weapons? Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Could it be him? Oh, he took the team to the playoffs. He's better than this. It's the offensive line. Oh, I'm so tired of the offensive line versus Daniel Jones conversation. And now this is on Brian Daboll to get an offense that actually works. Can you imagine a world where the Giants throw touchdown passes? I'm trying to think. Eli Manning, 2015, right? Because 16, the offense really didn't do much. They won on their defense the first year with McAdoo. But Tom Coughlin's last season, Ben McAdoo, offensive coordinator, big year for Odell Beckham Jr., Eli Manning. Remember that game? Was it 49-47 or something crazy in New Orleans? Like, that's the last time that the offense scored points. It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. Be really nice if they could figure out a way with Neighbors and Slayton, who the coach raves about. You know, the quarterback who throws the ball down the field, and Hyatt putting on 15 pounds of muscle and still running as fast as he is, getting down the field, trying to blow the top off. Wandell Robinson being shifty in short yardage passes. Like, you know, maybe Theo Johnson, an actual tight end weapon around the red zone. I don't know. I'm just thinking crazy here. Maybe they could actually, throw some touchdown passes with Russell Wilson and eventually Jackson Dart. Hopefully not. Maybe not next year until Jackson Dart, if things go well. But man, oh man. Anthony Richardson just can't stay healthy. It's his own fault on this one. At least that's how it looked to me watching the highlight. 888-808-1019. But let's get back to your baseball calls. As today is the deep breath before the plunge. Big series for the Mets against the best team in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers, if you can believe that. And the New York Yankees welcome into the Bronx Friday night. I think I'm going to be there tomorrow night. Got to be there to cheer the guys on. Got to be there. They need me. Against the Houston Astros, their nemesis. Cam Schlittler on the mound. 888-808-1019. Mike in Mount Vernon, New York. What's up, Mike?
Big Mac, how you doing?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Good, good, good. Listen, the Yankees, obviously the past week or two, they were on tilt, but they're a much better team than what they're playing.
They are.
I mean, and that's the way they're playing. And I think what we need to do is we need to develop that Dominguez as a right-handed hitter, because we're too lefty strong, man. We have to get some help on the right side. That's why that Goldie's got to hit a little better. He's got to get back to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I mean, against left-handed pitching, he's still a stud. He's an absolute beast. He's hitting .400 still. So against left-handed pitching, he's great. And against left-handed pitching, Rosario is really good. So, they went out and Slater, unfortunately, is very good against left-handed pitching, but he's hurt now. They should be better against left-handed pitching. You got Judge, you got Stanton, you got Goldschmidt, you've got Rosario. Like that, they should be. And Bellinger's numbers against left-handed pitching is actually pretty damn good. So, Like, I don't think they need to get Jason Dominguez going against them. This is now go time, man. One, he can't play left field. I don't like him in anytime the ball's hit there, I'm nervous. He can't go back on a ball. You know, he can't come in on a ball. He can kind of go into the gaps now, sideways a little bit, but he makes me extremely nervous on left field, and he's a liability as a right-handed bat. I'm not trying to develop Jason Dominguez here. I'm not. I'm trying to win baseball games. So to me, left-handed pitching, Jason Dominguez doesn't have to play. Late in the game with a lead, Jason Dominguez needs to be taken out of the outfield. Like, that's 100%. It'd be nice. I want Jason Dominguez to develop, no doubt, and I want him on the team because of his speed and because of what he can do as a left-handed hitter, but this is not let's figure out Jason Dominguez time. This is go freaking figure out a way into the postseason time.
100%. But let me ask you a question. Let's look a little forward. If they do need to move Judge to first base,
yeah,
do you have the confidence to put him in center field? I mean, when you said with Kyle Tucker, listen, I love Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
I love Kyle Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we're getting another lefty. Now we face the Dallas Keuchel type in the playoffs. Now we got Ryan McMahon. We got Jazz Chisholm. We got all these left-handed hitters. Ben Rice. I mean, so would you put him in center field?
No.
Do you trust him there?
No.
I don't trust him there either.
No, I'm re-signing Bellinger and putting Bellinger in center field.
100%.
Yeah, no, Dominguez is not. I hate that narrative. I push back on it every time I hear it. Oh, just put him in center where he's comfortable, please. Please. The dude is not a good outfielder, plain and simple. Maybe he will become one. The idea you put him in center field and suddenly he's capable out there. I am not putting a defender who looks like that in left in the most important defensive outfield position. Forget it. Dominguez is not my center fielder. He's not my center fielder next year. He's probably not my center fielder ever. Nope. So forget that. I'm re-signing Bellinger. Like, if I'm moving Judge to first base, if that dramatic shift, which again, we are speculating here, he's already had a catch, and there's talks about him possibly playing in the outfield against Minnesota. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that would be a huge boost for the Yankees. But the Yankees do need to be careful. You can't hurt them, clearly. But, like, if that move does get made, I don't think there's any doubt. I'm going to spend on Tucker. I'm bringing back Bellinger, and then I'll play Dominguez in left and let him continue to get better. I'm okay with playing Dominguez in left next year as my starting left fielder. But right now, it's not about making. And again, we want him as the leadoff hitter because he's got some speed. I need him on base. I don't need speed. I like speed, but speed works at every part of the lineup. And I'm not. And again, you're probably not stealing bases in front of Judge and risk getting thrown out. So, like, I like him at leadoff against right-handed pitching. If that's what they feel is best, that's fine. I think Grisham's done a pretty damn good job as a leadoff hitter. This is not about how do we make Jason Dominguez as good as he can be. It's not. A lot of the season was about that, trying to get him going. Should he play more against left-handed pitching? Should he do this? Should he hit leadoff? Blah. This is now they are a game and a half up of being out of the postseason, man. I don't care about Jason Dominguez. I care about winning. John and Maspeth, what's up, John?
How's it going, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Nice to see you on this time.
It is, isn't it?
Two things. It is. You know, hopefully
might actually get some sleep tonight.
Well, actually, you do get some more time off between now and when you got to come back on Saturday.
Yes. No, I got the full Friday into Saturday morning. I got some time off. And then Monday, I'm not doing the morning. I'm doing the morning show on Monday. So I got plenty of time off.
Oh, you're doing a morning show?
I'm doing the morning show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Yep.
Oh, wow. Do you know who you're doing it with?
I believe Monday, Tuesday is going to be Willie Colon, but I haven't been told I can say that on the air, but I think that's the case. Yeah.
Okay. So two things I want to talk about. One, just, I'm not a fan of Aaron Judge throwing a baseball right now. Not at all this year. I don't know why they got him throwing. You know, you cannot risk this elbow getting injured more, possibly leading to Tommy John. If I was the Yankees upper management, I would just have him shut down from throwing a baseball completely this year.
I don't know.
You
can't eliminate. Yeah. You can't expect to win and eliminate Giancarlo Stanton. You can't expect to win and eliminate Giancarlo Stanton. Why not? Like, let me ask you a question. Say yes. Say yes, Tommy John. Say yes, Tommy John. What is it? What's the ramification of it for the Yankees? Obviously, this season, forget about it. But again, they need Stanton. They need their best team. So, say Judge gets hurt, he's gone for this year. As an outfielder, I think if he has Tommy John, for sure, you're looking at him at first base next year, and he's probably back. You know, he's probably back May, June. It's not a pitcher. Like, these guys come back. It's not like he's gone
pretty quick.
It's not like he's gone for 2 years if he gets the injury.
That's true. Now, about the lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against lefty pitching, I noticed they like to lead off Paul Goldschmidt, right?
Yes.
Now, why not move him down in the lineup against lefties? Because he's got 20 extra base hits and 105 at-bats against lefties. Now, Volpe has got a 344 on base versus lefties, and Bellinger's got a 387 on base versus lefties. So why not put those two at the 1 and 2, put Judge at the 3-hole, and then put Goldschmidt as a cleanup hitter where he's just slugging over 700 against lefties. So this way he has some runners on base.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. I guess I don't hate it. I don't want to thrust Anthony Volpe to the top of the order. As much as he's been better recently, I'm not ready to put him at the top of the order. So that I disagree with. Could you hit Bellinger first? I suppose. But Bellinger, you know, I know he hit 2 home runs, and you're right about his slug against lefties, but Goldschmidt really hasn't shown that power at all. He's been the singles guy. He gets on, like, he's been, I don't mind Goldschmidt as the leadoff hitter. I would trust Bellinger with runners on base more than even Goldschmidt, I guess. But you're right. The numbers are so good lefty that I could see that. I don't think it's that big a difference, to be totally honest with you. But, yeah, Goldschmidt against left-handed pitching should be in the top 4 somewhere. I don't disagree with that. But to me, does it matter if he hits leadoff or he hits fourth or, you know, you put Bellinger fourth? You're also trying to, you know, create the mix and match for the bullpen later in the game. So you got to figure that out as well. You don't want to put him stacked necessarily with Judge fourth. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why it's leadoff, because then you can go righty, lefty, righty with Judge hitting third. And then find another left-handed hitter, whether it be Jazz or whomever, Rice or whatever, hitting fourth behind Judge. So I don't think it matters that much. I think Ross, you know, lineup construction's a bit overrated, but he's hit so well against lefties. He's got to be in the lineup, and he's got to be in the top 4. Mitchell in Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Hello, Big Mac. You know, first of all, this is weird. We're talking in normal hours. I'm not
going
here at 4:45 in the morning, and then you're ready to go to bed. So this is not a nice surprise. Number 2, you are going tomorrow night?
I believe I am, yeah.
Okay, I'm going also, so maybe we'll catch up tomorrow.
Maybe I'm taking the kids tomorrow night, so yeah, I'll run into you. I'll try and walk by your section over there in the outfield.
Yeah, 107. If you come early, you can sit down there and the boys can catch balls and everything. I got the 4 seats there, so they can come early and they can catch the balls for batting practice.
Oh,
if you get there that early.
Yeah, you know what? I'll probably take you up on that then. So I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Perfect. Number 3, let's get to the Yankees now. First of all, last night's game was a big game. But now, if you really look at it, this weekend's a big game, a big series for the Yankees for 2 reasons. Number one, they're going to play the Astros. If the Yankees can win the next 3 games, because Boston is playing the Padres and the Dodgers are playing the Blue Jays, if somehow that we could get lucky with the Padres to go sweep them and the Dodgers sweep, we could be down 3 games, and it's a whole new way that the Yankees have a chance to move out the chain, the whole way, the momentum, everything else. But the Yankees got to come out tomorrow night with they got to play effortless baseball. They got to hit the ball. They got to do everything right. They got to play baseball, not be lost all day. And I think the crowd tomorrow night is going to be a big part to it, because every Yankee fan hates the Astros, how it is. And we get this young pitcher tomorrow that I'm looking forward to seeing, because I haven't seen him yet live. I've always been lucky to get Rodon, or I got Schmidt until he got injured. And I just, my biggest concern still is the whole thing is Boone. And number 2, remember this. I would put Weaver back as a closer, but I don't know if Bender is, would be okay with that, because he's always been a closer. But if you just bend over a kid to go to eighth inning, I like Weaver in the ninth inning. It just, he has something about him from last year, from when we made it to the playoffs and went into the World Series, Big Mac. He was just like, he looked like he was confident. Nothing bothered with this guy. I just think if you put Bender not in the ninth inning, he might not be the same pitcher. He wants to close. That's what he's done for all these years, except for last year's disaster. So if we got to put Bender as the closer, that's fine. And if you put Weaver as the eighth inning, I'm great. But like you said before, I would still have to put William Summers because you're going to need him down the road. You just can't throw him in and garbage.
I'm sorry, Mitch. A little feedback. I don't disagree with you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. I don't disagree because you look at it and how postseason games go and the quick hooks we have with starting rotation and the starting rotation that the Yankees have. Like, they got two guys at the top of the rotation. Max Fried hasn't been great as of late. Carlos Rodon, you're worried about in big games, and those are your two givens. Then you get to Luis Gil, Cam Schlittler, Will Warren. Like, who knows what the kind of quick hook that Boone's going to have in a postseason series. You're going to need as many bullpen arms as you can have. They can't just abandon Devin Williams. Now, he's not going to pitch in high leverage situations at all for a while, and then we'll see what they can, you know. I just saw a whole big thing on MLB Network about how his arm angle is actually lower this year than it was last year, and I don't know. Maybe they could work on him, try and figure him out. I don't know. But he's done being the closer, but you can't just give up on him, and especially a guy of his ability and his talent. If you could get him comfortable, it would be a huge plus for the New York Yankees. There's a reason they traded for him. But you can't worry about that. Now, as far as Bednar's the closer to me, right? He's been a closer in Pittsburgh. He's got over 100 saves. You know, he's shown the ability to be a bulldog out there on the mound. Weaver is good in that seventh, eighth inning role. You can kind of throw him multiple innings and do different things with him. You know, with his track record as a starter, I know it's been now over a full calendar year since he's been a starter, 2 years now since he's been a starter, but he still has that in him. I don't mind. I think Bednar is the closer, and then you mix and match Doval and Weaver and Hill in that sixth, seventh, eighth inning, and however the lanes match up. I'm fine with Bednar as the closer. I think that's the answer right now. 888-808-1019. Let's real quick go to one more call, and then we'll take a break. Zach in Rockville Center. What's up, Zach?
D-Mac, my all-time favorite douche on WFAN.
Oh, I remember
yeah,
Zach. What's
man.
Up?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
How you doing? I tried to call you a couple times. I was on hold for a while. I was at work, whatever.
Yeah.
So, dude, you know, you and I align on every single Yankee thought. I love Cashman. I love Boone. You know, we share the same idea that you can't have 95 wins in a season, every season, not have a shot to win, you know, at least a pennant. But, dude.
Yeah.
I think I'm done, man. I think I'm done with Cashman. Like, it's not Boone, you know, because they're going to hire anybody who says what Boone says. And that's just what it is. You know, I mean, they got rid of Girardi because Girardi is a bit of a drill sergeant, to my understanding.
I don't think that's exactly the entire thing. I think there were players in the room who didn't like him and big, impactful
players in the room that didn't like Girardi.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure everybody in the clubhouse loves Aaron Boone.
Correct.
Because Aaron Boone sticks up for everybody, man.
Correct.
You know, he really does.
Yep.
Which I appreciate, you know, because I appreciate Volpe. I appreciate everybody he sticks up for, you know, those are his players. But, like, I think, man, it's time for a change in some fashion. I think it starts with the GM. And if it starts with the GM, that means that he's going to want his own head coach.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, if Cashman goes, Boone goes, I would think.
But what is happening this year that makes me want to watch baseball? Like, is there anything that you can tell me, C-Mac? Because, man, aside from being a douche, you and I are always eye to eye. What can you tell me that, you know, like, I don't even want to watch the games right now, man. Like, it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they've been losing. What makes you want to watch the game? They're in a pennant race. You're a Yankee fan. They're in a pennant race. I don't know. I don't have to say anything else. What do you mean? What makes you want to watch the games? They're fighting for their lives. This is baseball, man. It's 162. We're getting to the dog days of August. The season's on the line every night. This is what's great about this freaking sport. I wish they were 100 games up and we could watch with our feet up and not care what happens. That's not the case. We're in playoff. My wife said to me the other day, she's like, why is World Series Chris in my living room? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why World Series Chris is in your living room. I thought I was going to have a cakewalk through a division. But here's World Series Chris against the Texas Rangers. And I'm sorry. But I love it. I love it. Now, am I heartbroken and sick to my stomach when they lose the game? Absolutely. But, like, I get up for these games, man. And it's like being pregnant. You forget all of the misery it caused you the next day or the next, you know, in 6 months, you're like, oh, you know, we can have another one. You forget all the pain and misery and the sick mornings and the doctor's appointments and everything else. You forget that you were miserable the next day. Boom, let's go. Big game against the Astros Friday. What are you talking about? Why do you want to watch baseball? They're playing the Astros Friday night, Yankee Stadium. You don't want to watch that game? All right. Whatever. I know we hate them so much that they're not winning. I'm pumped for Friday night. I'm pumped for tomorrow night. Let's go. Let's fill that ballpark up. Let's scream at the Astros. We haven't seen Correa in an Astros uniform in a bit. Let's go have some fun. And hopefully the team will play well. And if they don't, we'll curse them and yell at them. But that's it. Why do you want to watch the games? Because you're a Yankee fan, dude. Like, this is where I draw the disconnect. Like, where did we get to the point? I know it's championship or bust. And I know many of us grew up when they were winning World Series in the early 90s. And I know we're, you know, a lot of us harken back to all the championships they've won, you know, back before there was, all you had to do was have the best record in the American League and you were in the World Series, or before the draft and all you had to do was sign guys and you were the Yankees and everybody wanted to sign with you. Imagine if they had to draft Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio. Thankfully, they didn't have to. Like, I get it. And I wish they were better. But why do we have this, like, hatred for them? I don't even want to watch the games. What are you talking about? If you're a Yankee fan and you don't want to watch Friday, are you sure you're a Yankee fan? If you're a Met fan and you're so disgusted with their play that you don't want to watch the game against Milwaukee, what are you doing, dude? Go watch the cornhole tournament on ESPN, the Ocho. Go do something different. Go watch the Billy Joel documentary. It was really good. Go to the movies Friday night and check out Naked Gun. I want to see it. It's frustrating. It's disgusting. It makes your stomach turn. But that shows how much you care, man. We love this crap. I'm pumped for Friday. It might end in heartbreak. It might piss me off. I might be screaming. But that's what it's about. And I don't understand anybody who feels differently. You don't want to watch anymore? You want to go be a fan of a different team? Go ahead. See how that treats you. And that's not a typical, like, go be a Pirates fan. I'm just saying, if you're miserable because the Yankees being in the wild card is so obnoxious to you because they're the New York Yankees and they should be winning championships, I get it. I do get it. I'm frustrated by it too. But for me, for one, this douche is going to be watching Friday.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 8:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, filling in for Keith. Got you for another 3.5 hours. We'll take you to midnight. And Anthony Gallo in for me in the overnights. 888-808-1019. A lot of baseball to start the show. We'll talk to Kevin Kiernan of Baseball 9 coming up. Touch on the Yankees and the Mets a little bit. We'll get into football a little bit later, and we'll take you all the way to midnight, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls for now, though. Frank in White Plains. What's up, Frank?
Mac, thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it, Frank.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Which Yankees are best? Because I love baseball. I watch both teams. I'm not a hater. I am a New Yorker and I love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Here's the thing. Which team you think have a better chance to get in the playoffs now? Yankees or Mets?
To get in the playoffs?
Yes.
I would say the Mets. The Mets are closer to their division. The Mets have a larger lead in the wild card. I trust the Mets' depth at starting pitching more than I trust the Yankees. The lineup hasn't been good. The bullpen is very good, and they have Diaz at closer. That's a right now. I feel good about Bednar as the closer for the Yankees, but I mean Diaz is.
I would say I have a different opinion.
Okay, why?
But
because if you ask me World Series, I'd probably still say the Mets, but the National League is tougher on some level. The high end of the National League is a little bit tougher. The Dodgers are still someone you have to get through. The Phillies are a good baseball team. To me, the Tigers are unproven. The Astros aren't the same. The Blue Jays, I'll still call them frauds until they actually win something. And the Red Sox are on a little hot little run here, but I don't know if they're necessarily better. So, like, to the World Series, I suppose you could make the argument the Yankees. I think just to get in, I would think the Mets are probably better. But please, give me your reasons, Walt Frank.
You see why I said about the Mets? Because Mets, they don't have enough starting pitching to take him there. That's my really
problem. Yeah, but who are the Yankees starting pitchers?
You know. Oh, come on, man. They got Matt Friedy. He's the one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, not the last five starts. Yeah. And that's all they got there, Frank. Carlos Rodon, you can't trust in a big game. And then they're throwing two rookies at you, and Cam Schlittler and Will Warren. Or Luis Gil, who has hardly pitched. I mean, I don't – like, that's the issue with the Yankees right now. I still think they're far better than they've been. It's not an excuse for why they've been so bad here. But, like, you get into a postseason series, and you got to – Max Fried and Carlos Rodon have to be a guaranteed good performance. Now, Cam Schlittler has the stuff maybe to go out there and dominate if he puts it together on any given night, but you know, these are rookies you're going to thrust into a postseason series. Not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. The rotation is the scariest angle of the team right now. Amazingly enough, it's not what's really cost them here, but it's what I would worry about the most into a postseason series. You mentioned the Mets starting pitching. You know, Kodai Senga. Yeah, they're not going very deep, but they got a bullpen that can kind of help with that. They went out and made the additions with Rogers and Helsley, like, and Diaz at the back end, who's one of the best, if not the best closer in the game. So, like, you feel good about the back end of the bullpen. You know, Reed Garrett's really found himself again and been good. Like, Kodai Senga is really good. Yeah, he might only give you five or six max, but I don't think he's going to give up more than one or two runs. I feel confident about that once he really starts coming back from the injury and you know, finding himself. Manaea, same thing. Like, I feel good about Manaea through five or six. Clay Holmes, I feel good about Clay Holmes through four or five. Like, it's not great, but, like, I look at Carlos Rodon, who's supposed to be a lock for the Yankees, all-star, pitching great this year. I feel better about Manaea and Senga keeping them in a game than Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon could get blown up. We've seen it in big games. So I think the starting pitching actually is the difference between the Yankees and the Mets as far as, you know, getting to a postseason and then maybe doing something in there. Josh in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Chris. Pleasure to talk to you. I usually listen because it's very late and listen the next morning, but I got 2 points I really want to pick your brain about.
Okay.
But before I say that, I think we're seeing Judge in right field this weekend. I know that's probably.
I think he's.
You know,
I think they said he's ruled out of playing the outfield against the Astros this weekend.
Did they?
Yeah,
wow.
I think they did. I think there's a chance you could see it against Minnesota. Even that would surprise me, but there's a chance.
Okay,
we'll see.
I don't think they made that announcement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they fully like made the announcement, but it's kind of been talked about. Like, don't expect to see him this weekend. I'd be surprised.
Really?
But I hope you're right,
because you know him. He's the captain. I mean, I can't see him being out there, not out there, and Dominguez being in left field in that situation, that could be a total disaster. And yeah. I like Dominguez.
I think
tough on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's got a chance to be a really good player, but right now he's just a liability out in left field. There's no other
way. Like you said, it's go time. But two things, one about Aaron Boone and one about Devin Williams, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm not the biggest Aaron Boone guy.
Okay.
I really am not, and I don't.
You and everybody else, so go ahead. Yeah, I guess.
I know, but I'm not going to argue about that. But I do think he actually had a really positive impact in terms of the trade deadline, because I don't think Cashman's going out, and getting all these players without the manager going up to him and being like, yo, this is what I need.
I don't know how much of a, I think it just depends on, I don't really think Aaron Boone.
Maybe that's a little old school way.
Yeah,
of,
I don't think Aaron Boone said, hey, listen, you better go out and get me things. Like, I doubt very much. I think
not
Brian,
that way. Just like, this is what I need, and this is where we're deficient at.
I think they have a discussion, sure. But I think Brian Cashman is well aware of what they need and what they're deficient at.
I don't think everything is his fault, though. I would like to see him, like, be a little bit more, I would like to see a more consistent lineup in terms of, like, the batter. Like, if you have a lefty or righty lineup, fine. But I would like it set. I kind of feel like a batting order is like an offensive line. They need to gel too. So I would like to. He's not getting fired. Hal's not paying him to stay home. No way.
I don't think they. It depends on how bad it got. I thought if they lost that game in Texas and found themselves out of the postseason heading into this homestand, I thought there would have been a chance. I don't think he's going to get fired now. And hopefully we don't have that discussion again because they're winning. But I don't know. We'll see. It's not impossible to me. But as far as the lineup, I disagree with you. I do not think it's like an offensive line. They are directly what the guy next to you does impacts. Like I really don't think that the lineup is like that. The guys try and have good at bats. I don't think it's that much of a drastic difference in what you're asking them to do. Like I think it's overblown. We have seen teams like the idea of the Yankees. Oh, it's because of this, because of that. And then I go back and I watch the 1999 World Series and look at the different lineups the Yankees played in that World Series. Just in the World Series alone. Like, they didn't have the same outfield in any of the games. Derek Jeter hitting different spots. Like, it's just, we point to stuff and say, that's the reason, because we're trying to find reasons. I don't think it's the lineup. They've scored a lot of runs. The lineup's been good. Like, if the lineup was struggling like it did in 23, or, they weren't scoring runs, and you want to go, well, they stopped doing this, stopped doing that. They lead the American League in runs scored. Now, are they the greatest offense to manufacture runs? Are they great at small ball and stuff like that? No, they struggle with it, no doubt. And are they a bit of a bully? They're a bully offense. Are they a bit of a bully offense where they pound some bad pitching? I suppose, but that's how everyone. You think the Cubs are the top scoring team in the National League, or the Dodgers are the top scoring team in the National League, doing nothing but beating excellent pitchers? Like, part of scoring runs is beating bad pitching. So, like, I don't have a problem with what he's done with the lineup because it's been working. Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, Big Mac?
What's up, brother?
It's Big Mac. Dylan.
That's
so,
right.
So, yeah, I hear the vitriol, the absolute downtrodding, the waterboarding, so to speak, of Boone's respect. And I'm going to pull something from the 2019 season where – after the end of April, we were 9 to 10 games under 500, and 2/3 of the lineup was injured until July.
Mm-hmm.
And Cashman had nothing else to do. There weren't trades to be made. He just brought up a bunch of Mike Toxin and Mike Fords, Gio Urshela's. Cameron Maiden came from being retired to joining the team.
Well, he wasn't retired. And he was floundering in the Cleveland Guardians and then Cleveland Indians farm system, hitting about 250, and then came to the Yankee Stadium and went nuts for 3 months.
Exactly. Well, what I'm saying is that he basically retired like a year or two after that. He was probably towards the twilight of his career.
Oh, no doubt.
And Boone was able to duct tape, bandage, and spit and put paper on a floundering team to win 100 games.
Yep.
So with
that's the
said,
best year of his,
doing that.
That is the best year of his tenure. I thought Aaron Boone should have been manager of the year. You're right. Everyone, Stanton missed. Stanton played like 12 games that year, 18 games that year. Judge missed the large gap of the season. And Duhar, off of his 2018 season, got hurt in the first week and never came back. Like they lost almost everyone. And you're right. He plugged holes with Mike Tauchman, Cameron Maben, Luke Voigt, Gio Urshela, and they went on to win 103 games, or 102 games, 101 games, whatever it was. I thought Aaron Boone did an incredible job that year. There's no doubt.
So knowing that, like, what's the likelihood of him being fired because the players all of a sudden forgot to not swing at pitches outside the zone when they have count leverage, or pitchers that lost their arm slot for three innings and they didn't understand what the genius that Matt Blake is telling them, hey, you're not doing this, do this, and you'll get out the jam. It's been like that since June 13, like a refusal. I don't know. Thanks
no,
for taking
I hear you, Moose. Look, I as much as I agree with you on 2019, I can't point to that and go, see, Boone's a good manager. Like, I would like to, but it's not the case. Like, he had a great year that year. I don't disagree. He should have been manager of the year. But that has nothing to do with the team right now. And everything falls under his purview on some level. I agree with you that sometimes, like, I don't put every mistake on him. I don't. And, you know, the accountability, I think, is overblown. Should there be some of it, some more of it? Should he be willing to try it now that the team's not responding to how he's handling things? Sure. I don't think pulling Jazz out of the game makes Jazz a better player. I don't think pulling Wells out of the lineup, you know, or is any more embarrassing and make sure that he won't forget how many outs there are, as opposed to just having to face the media and call and face the fan base and call himself an idiot. Like, I don't see, like, I don't think pulling Anthony Volpe is going to make him not throw the ball into the dirt. He looks like he's hopefully battling through that. The throws have been much better as of late. But, like, I don't care so much about that. I care about underachieving, and I care about the mentality of the team. And it felt like they got broken Friday night and then walked through the next three games. That's what I have a problem with. That's what I have a problem with. I don't care about his post-game sound, and although I do care about accountability, I think it's overblown. But they're not winning, plain and simple, and they're not playing winning baseball. And on some level, it's just that's up to the manager. And this year, they're underachieving. This roster should be better, and he's not.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 8:50. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Filling in for Keith. I got you till midnight on our ride to midnight. You know, if you listen to me in the overnight, you know I can talk a lot of movies. Looking forward to Naked Gun. I have to go see it. If you've seen Naked Gun, I mean, the reviews are crazy. They're, like, so good that I'm looking forward to it. But talking about reviews, right now there's a movie that is coming out that is getting the worst reviews that I've ever seen. And it's War of the Worlds. So I guess it is an adaptation of War of the Worlds. If you're obviously H.G. Wells, the book, and then the movie with Tom Cruise, I don't know, 20 years ago now already. Nothing surprises me more, just side note here. Is there anything else that does the, oh my God, how old am I, more than like the years movies come out? Like you're flipping through, it's like Wedding Crashers came out 20 years ago? Like whenever, when you see the years that movies came out, you're like, that was, like that's already 15 years ago, whatever stupid movie. Like, oh my God, Wedding Crashers is 20 years old? That's crazy. I just saw they were talking about Wedding Crashers, that it's its 20-year anniversary. 20 years ago? I remember when Wedding Crashers came out. That was 20 years? That's crazy. But right now, I guess Ice Cube is coming out with a new War of the Worlds where it's pretty much him from his computer. Like, the whole movie is done over Zoom, like, kind of. Every interaction he has with someone, it's through the computer. You see the aliens and the robots coming up out of the ground, same as in the Tom Cruise movie, and he's talking to his daughter. She's on the phone. He's like, the whole movie takes place from him in his office chair. It is getting some of the worst reviews you've ever seen. It's already being called one of the worst movies ever made. And I've never wanted to watch something more in my life. Like, there are those movies that are so bad or get so bad reviews. You're just like, could it possibly be this bad? And you have to go see it. There was a TV show that my sister used to be obsessed with. I think it was on Sci-Fi. It was called Mystery Science Theater 2000. And it's like a weird premise where this guy's like in a spaceship and he's stuck up there and he's got like a robot friend and they would sit and watch all these old terrible movies. like these old B Hollywood movies, horror movies or whatever, and just sit there and make funny comments over the movie. It's a tremendous show. But like that's, you love watching like these terrible movies. So like the idea that right now you've got a Naked Gun with Liam Neeson, which is one of the more odd casting choices I've ever seen. Or at least one, I know he's done some comedies, had, you know, cameos in Ted and different things where you're like, oh, maybe he could do a little comedy. Plus he's Liam Neeson, you know, he's a great actor. But like the idea of him in Naked Gun is so jarring that you're like, oh, you have to go see it. And then you're thinking, oh, I'm sure the critics are going to hate this one. A remake of a slapstick comedy with Liam Neeson is going to get killed. And then the reviews literally are like, the world needs to see this. It'll save comedy and save our souls. I was like, what? Save our souls? Liam Neeson and Naked Gun? And now this new Ice Cube movie, it seems like it's the worst thing ever. I have to go see it. I have to figure out a way to see Ice Cube fight aliens from his computer chair. I gotta figure it out. I gotta figure out a way to watch that one. We'll see what I watch this weekend. I gotta try and the wife has no option. Like to watch TV is just constantly games. I feel for her. She always wants to watch something. I'm like, nope, can't. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joe in Eastchester. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. I actually called about the Yankee outfield, but I can't lay off the talk about Aaron Boone. You know,
yes.
Like Bill Parcells said, you're as good as your record, and you know that goes for the manager and the coach too.
Sure.
But I'm not an Aaron Boone fan. I mean, you know, whoever you know wants to look at it, that you know whether it's his press conference or what he does, that's he sticks up for his players. You know, somebody else looks like he makes excuses for his players, and you know, Jazz Chisholm getting, you know, he's a good player, but he can't get picked off.
No,
that's a little league move. Then the other night he's pumping his chest of how he made such a great move of letting Bednar turn him away and stay in the game. He was such a dog. If that blew up, he would have been under the bus again.
Well, I mean, but doesn't that speak to the idea that the manager's just going to get killed no matter what happens if things go wrong?
I guess, but.
You thought he was beating his chest and taking credit for it. He literally said the player made the decision for me.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the whole point.
I mean, you think that's pounding your chest? He said, "I went to take him out, and the player told me not to, so I went with it." Like that's—I don't think that's pounding his chest.
I thought he was subtly saying that he made a great move by listening to his player. Being the manager.
I think you're just looking for ways now to kill him. There's plenty of reasons. You don't have to make stuff up.
I'm definitely looking for ways to kill him.
Like, there's plenty of reasons to kill him.
I want to ask you a question. It's a fun question.
Yeah.
Big Yankee playoff game.
Yes.
Or, I guess, tomorrow night, you feel it's a big game against the Astros.
Absolutely is. Absolutely is.
Who do you want starting in the Yankee outfield? Big playoff game and tomorrow night.
Against right-handed pitching, I still want the offense. I would still go. I mean, listen, if Judge was healthy, I mean, you're talking about, like, Judge isn't available in the outfield right now. But if right. Judge is healthy, I
yes.
I mean, it depends on who the pitcher is. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think the outfield, the Bellinger in left, Judge in right, and Grisham in center, I think is their best outfield.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I think Dominguez is that detrimental defensively. He's good, you know, against the right-handed pitcher he can hit, but like, he scares me defensively. He just does. He scares me defensively. You got to make that play the other night. Now, I mean, they win that. Devin Williams figures a way to get out of it if they make that. Or at least, you know, again, you don't know if they win the game necessarily. It's still tied. But they don't score a run in that inning. If he makes that play, he's got to make that play. He has to. Hit off his glove. He's got to make it. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac? Good
what's
show
up?
As always.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, a little thing here, you know, that I really think. If you look at, like, when you look at what should you do when things are wrong as a manager.
Yeah.
Now, I break it down three ways, right? I look at, number one, is it an effort problem? Number two, that's number one.
Right.
Are you putting the effort? Number two, is it a mental awareness thing that you're not aware? Or number three, is it that you're just not hitting good? And sometimes you can't really do much about that, you know, maybe
yeah.
Set them down, but But if it's an effort thing, for example, Chisholm, I think should have been something done, and Wells. Why? Because one was they were both mental.
Yeah,
the player should not have done it. Like, so if you look at Volpe's not mental. He made some throws.
I disagree with you. I think Volpe's definitely mental.
It's not a mental mistake,
but he's in his own head with the throws. I don't think that his arm is incapable of making those throws. I think he's in his head about the throws.
Yeah, but let me tell you my point here. The other two mistakes are because they weren't paying attention. You have to be accountable to that.
Yeah, I don't think
you know. How could you not know there's two outs? How could you have a ball pop up in front of your face? Come on, that's completely egregious.
I don't disagree, but I do think Jazz. I don't think Jazz is oblivious. I think Jazz is trying to make a play and being silly. Like, he's not egregious to the fact that you can't. Like, he was. It's not that he's unaware. He has to get back to first base. Like, Wells was unaware of how many outs there were. Jazz knows on the pop. It's not like he got confused with how many outs. He would have been rounding the bases. He knew exactly how many outs there were. He knew exactly what his job was to get back to first base. He thought they were going to try and drop the ball. And on that turf, he thinks the ball might bounce high enough in the air where he could make a play and be safe at second base and make them look stupid for trying to drop the ball. Instead of just saying to himself, let me make sure I don't get thrown out here, that it's acceptable to be have an out at second if they drop the ball and have a force that you can live with that, but you cannot live with getting picked off at first base. And I would have pulled him off the field too. Absolutely, I would have. I would have pulled Wells off the. They couldn't pull Wells off the field. They already used Rice in the game. They had no other catcher. I would have pulled Vivas off the field the first game back in Atlanta. The first game back off after the All-Star break, he makes that play. I would have pulled him off the field and sent a message right then and there, like, enough of this crap. Enough of it. And Boone doesn't do it. And then he tells you, well, I don't pull guys for this, that. You don't pull guys for anything. As much as I'm a Boone defender on some things, that's absolutely true. The guy's full of crap when he tells you, oh, I only pull them because of this. You don't pull guys for anything. It took Gleyber Torres making 1,000 mistakes before you would pull him. Please. Don't tell us you pull guys for this reason or that. You don't pull anybody. Now, do I think that's the reason they're losing or the reason they're making mistakes or would suddenly things change if they did pull guys off the field? I don't. So I don't put that much weight into it. I don't think they'd be 5 games better right now. I don't think the Yankees would be coasting through the American League, never making an error because Aaron Boone pulled a guy off the field. That's just I don't feel that way. I think all the mistakes would still be there. But there's no doubt he doesn't. There's no doubt he should try it. But I think too much weight is put on it like it's the answer to the problems. But it's certainly not helping. So when things aren't helping, maybe change it up a little bit. That's why I laugh when people point to things. Like they point to, I did this yesterday. People will point to Joe. Oh, look, at least Joe Girardi called out the defense of Gary Sanchez. Did it make Gary Sanchez a better defender? Isn't that the point? Because I don't remember it making Gary Sanchez a better defender at all. Joe Torre, at least he held people accountable. Alex Rodriguez was terrible in the postseason, and he hit him 8th. At least he told the people accountable. That was the biggest disaster in Joe Torre's career, possibly. It was a freaking nightmare moving him to 8th. It completely blew up in his face. It became the story of the game, and they were terrible in that series. It didn't help a thing. So I'm all for accountability, and I'm all for, you know, doing things differently when it's not working. And absolutely, I think there's been a laissez-faire of where the Yankees will be fine, and that's been a problem under the Boone era for years. But I don't want accountability just because I want to hear it in the post. I want it to impact the team and help the team. And we talk about it like it's a cure-all sometimes, and I just don't think it is.